May I speak in the power of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have some tremendous news, who would you tell first? For most of us, I'm guessing it probably wouldn't be some random person in the street. In our gospel reading today, Philip had some incredible news to share. And we're told that he went looking for and found Nathanael. Philip seemed to know this man's habits and where to look for him, so we can only surmise that these two were good friends. If I give you a blank sheet of paper and 20 minutes to write down all you know about Nathanael, what will you write? Don't look so worried, I'm not actually going to make you do it. But if you're sitting questioning how little you know, then that's perfectly reasonable. Because this gospel reading is just about the only information we're given about this man, Nathanael. So let's do a recap. What do we know about him? Firstly, his name, it means God has given. What a wonderful name. In the other gospels, Nathanael is referred to by another name, Bartholomew, which literally means Barth, the son of Tholtoimoi, the son of Toimoi, Bartholomew, which is where we get the name from today. So he's either known as the gift from God or just the son of his dad. But John tells us that Nathanael was from Cana in Galilee, and this is a town walking distance from Nazareth where Jesus was brought up. So why is Philip in such a hurry to find his friend? Well, if we look back at what's just been happening, Jesus has just found Philip and he said, "Follow me." And just the day before, Jesus had called two of Philip's friends, Simon and Andrew, the fishermen. And now we have Philip eager to find another of his friends, Nathanael, and tell him the fantastic news. Philip knows where to go and find him. It's clear that one of the places he likes to hang out is under a fig tree. And we'll come back to this fig tree in just a moment. But what is it that Philip is bursting to tell his close friend? Well, Philip finds Nathanael and he blurts out, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." I can always imagine him going, "Joseph, down the road, Jesus." This enthusiasm and joy is to me a reminiscent of the way that the shepherds reacted in the Christmas story. And Nathanael too, is he immediately overjoyed, isn't he? No. His first reaction is actually somewhat nonplussed, even mocking. Maybe that's how these friends just bantered together. "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" I guess it's not unusual for people to knock the nearest place to their own, which is not their own. Does Philip banter back, though, in maybe their normal way, using a clever argument or persuasive words? No. He simply says, "Come and see." Sometimes the best evangelistic tools are not clever words or arguments. The person just needs to actually experience Jesus for themselves. William Barclay said that not many people have ever been argued into Christianity. Often our arguments do more harm than good. The only way to convince a person of the supremacy of Christ is to confront them with Christ. And the best thing that often we can do is to say, "Come and see." As Jesus sees Nathanael approaching, he says, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And not surprisingly, Nathanael answers, "How do you know me?" Jesus has uttered something so profound. And then Jesus says something very, very simple. "I saw you. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And at these words, Nathanael knows that he is the Son of God. He gets there 2 years before the majority of the rest of the disciples. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Clearly, Jesus had not just been strolling past and seen him. Clearly, this is a demonstration of that supernatural power of God working out through Jesus. And Nathanael, like the old man Simeon in the temple, has been watching for this coming Messiah. He's a godly Jewish man, and he instantly recognizes Jesus. So what was it, perhaps, that Jesus recognizes? It's clearly not just a man flattering him, but Jesus reveals this deep truth, something he wouldn't have just known. It's a bit similar to how he talks to the woman at the well later in John's Gospel. And which of us could truly say that another person, even one we know really well, let alone one that we've never met, is a person in whom there is no deceit, no concealing the truth, no so-called little white lies, no spin, no deliberately concealing just a little bit of knowledge, no exaggeration? Jesus' comment is an incredible insight into who Nathanael really was. But then we have this odd comment. I saw you under the fig tree. Let's unpack that a little bit. There are several layers to the phrase. Firstly, the image of the fig tree appears throughout the Bible as a symbol of Israel. Most people at this time would have lived in homes with maybe only one, probably smoke-filled, noisy room. So privacy was hard to come by. Fig trees were often planted outside the homes in Israel. And as well as being a food supply in the right season, their spreading branches brought shade. It became a little like a garden room or a conservatory. And throughout the Old Testament, in the times of peace for Israel, we hear the phrase again and again that everyone sat under their own fig tree. It's a metaphor, a way of saying that people were safe, comfortable, able to worship Yahweh from security. And then there's also a Jewish colloquial phrase that says that being under the fig tree is meant to be meaning contemplating scripture and praying. It was a play on words. And Nathanael is this Jew who is seeking God. He clearly knows the scriptures. He was habitual about drawing aside and praying from his chosen place of shade and comfort. Philip, his friend, knew he'd be there in his favorite spot under the fig tree, and he immediately tells Nathanael he's found the one that Moses has spoken about. Jesus saying that he'd seen Nathanael under this fig tree meant that he had heard his prayers. He knew the meditations of his heart. Jesus knew that Nathanael's heart was circumcised, that he was the real deal. But even godly, good people need a savior. Even prayerful people need that greater experience of who Jesus really is. Jesus saw Nathanael's physical and his spiritual position under that tree. He's a great guy. But Jesus wants him to recognize that there's so much more to experience in him. He tells him that greater things than this will happen, that he will see heaven opened and angels ascending and descending to the Son of Man. There's so much more for Nathanael to experience, but he's got to step out from that place of comfort, that spreading place of comfort, his safety zone, where he's in control and fully can trust and follow his own ways. But Jesus says, follow me. And if he does this, he's going to experience remarkable things, but he's going to have to step away from this place of comfort. Nathanael is seen by God under his fig tree. And God knows we want to feel comfortable. He knows that this is a good thing to want to gather to him, to pray day in, day out. But again and again, he calls us to step out for a time, to follow his leading into the unknown, into a place perhaps of non-safety, knowing that the one in whom we build our very homes around goes with us into this space. God's power is released when we step out and follow him. And that peace and that reassurance comes not from our place of safety, but from Jesus himself, the one in whom peace surpasses understanding, that we might move from our place of comfort to the exciting things that God has planned for each one of us. He wants each of us to recognize and experience for ourselves that ladder that goes from the sorrows of earth to the splendors of heaven. So, yes, daily draw aside and pray from your place of comfort. If you don't have that, carve it out for yourself and find it. But equally, don't be afraid to step out and follow God's leading, making Jesus the king of your heart, trusting him to show you even greater things than this. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Nathanael's heart to draw aside and pray and study your word. Would you help us to make the time to find our own fig trees, those places of familiar comfort where we intentionally seek you? Forgive us for allowing other things to crowd our intimacy with you. Will you help us to be watchmen and women, people who both know your word and long for it to be fulfilled here in this church, in this place, in this time? Take our hearts and our hands, pull us to our feet and breathe your Holy Spirit into us, that we might hearken to your voice and not be afraid to follow your leading. Amen.